Welcome. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is and wherever you are welcome to join us as we take time to worship God, to put our lives back into kilter with Him, to rest with God for a short while. We gather as descendants, children of Abraham, many nations. We gather to worship the Lord our God, the maker of the stars, the one who calls us to follow him. We gather united in our love of God, and we offer this time of worship.
As we bring our prayers to our God, let us be still for a moment. And in the stillness, can we hear the water of the stream, the bird song? As we approach our God, we think of the glimpses of wonder around us, the signs of spring emerging, the wonder of the night sky. Let us, in wonder and in awe, draw near to our Creator God. And with the psalmists and writers of Scripture, we shiver with awareness of how great you are and how small and insignificant we are in the eternal scheme of things, and yet you love each one of us. We marvel at the possibility that we matter and matter to you. With Abraham, we try to count the stars, and having failed, we think of all the people who came before us and those who will come after us, our biological heirs and our spiritual heirs, those who will remember us when we are gone and keep our name alive and write the next chapter of the never-ending story of your love. With Peter, we rail at the injustice of good men and good women, dreams unrealized, potential unfulfilled, and we crave the courage that Jesus had, the faith that enabled him to accept your will. Gracious God, as we prepare once again to walk with Jesus on the road that had only one end, we pray that his Spirit be with us, enabling us to grieve and keep on going, to hurt and bear the pain, to question and to go on trusting in your goodness and the ultimate victory of love. Remind us again and again of your promises, O God, and of our calling to help you fulfill them in the fleetingly brief time that we have here on earth. May we play our part in the eternal struggle of light against darkness, goodness against evil, love against hatred, hope against despair, trusting for all that we may not live to see. We praise you, O God, for the deep mysteries of our faith, and ask you to keep us faithful to the one who has called us to leave everything, to follow him through death into everlasting life, life in all its fullness. All our prayers, all our wonder, we offer to you, our God. In Jesus' name, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
A reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans in the fourth chapter, beginning at verse 13. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing, and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, "it was credited to him," were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Thanks be to God.
Then Jesus began to teach his disciples. The Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He will be put to death, but 3 days later he will rise to life. He made this very clear to them. So Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But Jesus turned round, looked at his disciples, and rebuked Peter. "Get away from me, Satan," he said. "Your thoughts don't come from God, but from man." Then Jesus called the crowd and his disciples to him. "If anyone wants to come with me," he told them, "he must forget self, carry his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his own life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. Does a person gain anything if he wins the whole world but loses his life? Of course not. There is nothing he can give to regain his life. If a person is ashamed of me and of my teaching in this godless and wicked day, then the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels."
The letter from Paul to the Romans follows on well from last week's talk about Noah. The reading this week tells us about Abraham, the father of three world religions, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. Noah was described as a man who walked with God. And here in this text, we are told that Abraham was righteous in the eyes of God. He was right with God because he had faith and he trusted God and the promises he made. He hoped even when there was no reason for hoping, we are told. He is described here as the spiritual father of us all. He draws us all together into one family group, where the common denominator is faith and belief in one God. The section of the letter which we've heard today concludes with the words, "That is why Abraham, through faith, was accepted as righteous by God." The words "he was accepted as righteous" were not written for him alone. They were written also for us who are to be accepted as righteous, who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from death. Because of our sins, he was handed over to die, and he was raised to life in order to put us right with God. The words that stand out to me as I read through the text are, we who are to be accepted as righteous, and he was raised to life in order to put us right with God. Now, the reading from Mark takes us a little further down the road of Jesus' journey. He's on his way from Galilee to Jerusalem for Passover. And as he journeys along his way, we have read that he's healed many and preached to many. Conversation is getting more and more excited, and speculation abounds about who he is. Some say he is John the Baptist. In the verses immediately before our reading today, Jesus has turned to Peter and asked, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter replies, "You are the Messiah." Jesus knew where his journey was going to take him and what fate was in store for him. And so he begins to tell the disciples about his suffering and death. The Jewish people had longed for a Messiah for many generations. They'd been promised a Messiah who would free them from oppression. But their image of a Messiah was of a vanquishing hero, a military man, one who would kill their enemies. And so, even though Peter says to Jesus, "You are the Messiah," even when he has seen the healing and the miracles, even though he has heard Jesus preaching, when Jesus says he will be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, Peter couldn't accept this. Their own people going to kill him? Surely not. Jesus rebukes him by saying, "Your thoughts don't come from God, but from human nature." He still has this image. The historical stereotype of a Messiah was interfering with what Peter had seen with his own eyes. Not for the first time, and certainly not for the last, Peter was out of his depth, trying to compute the conflicting information, right versus wrong, faith versus long-held belief. Jesus is getting closer to the time when he alone will be facing his fate at the end of his physical journey. He's getting to the time when he will no longer be able to teach his disciples. He will have to trust that they have learned enough. And then Peter says this. Jesus retorts, "If anyone wants to come with me, he must forget self, carry his cross, and follow me." There, he's laid down the gauntlet. Let's see who would rise to the challenge. Just as Abraham was on a journey based on faith and trust in God, and Jesus was on his journey towards the final episode of his earthly ministry, we are on our Lenten journey. It can be much more than a token fast. It can be a time when we can think about the challenges raised in these two readings. Firstly, let's consider the challenge raised in the letter to the Romans. He was accepted as righteous, were not written for him alone. They were written also for us who are to be accepted as righteous, who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from death. Because of our sins, he was handed over to die, and he was raised to life in order to put us right with God. How do we become righteous? We become righteous or right with God through our faith and through the act of atonement on the cross. Abraham lived righteously, and so our intention should be to continue to live as God would have us live. But how do we tune in to what God would have us do? Abraham was visited by angels. Elijah heard a still small voice, and God spoke to Moses in thunder and lightning. Abraham was outside his tent when he was visited by the angels. Moses was up a mountain when he heard God's voice. So there doesn't appear to be a place or a single way in which we can communicate. Paul would describe it as becoming the gospel, absorbing the kingdom values as taught by Jesus, and letting them change our behaviour and outlook. Maybe Rowan Williams' definition of "see what God's doing and join in" might be easier for us to understand. It's a great phrase, but how do we do it? How do we see what God is doing? Do we look hard round our communities? Do we go on prayer walks, engage in listening exercises? Or are we looking too hard? Are we trying too hard? Do we think that God is hard to find? When we look around us, we can see God's work is everywhere. And perhaps the harder question might be, How do we discern which parts of his work we are called to? We have plenty of choice. The questions asked in passages like Matthew 25 take on a new resonance when we're thinking like this. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And now the challenge from Jesus in the reading in Mark to take up our cross and follow him. How do we forget self, carry our cross and follow Jesus? And what is our cross? Well, I think some of the answer to this has already been outlined in the quote above, thinking of others and not our own issues, looking at our neighbours and communities through the eyes of the teachings of Jesus, identifying a need and trying to meet it, finding a wrong and trying to rectify it, seeing an ailment and trying to cure it, including those who are excluded, all the time following Jesus' lead. Jesus is not asking us to do anything he hasn't done himself. Jesus' cross was symbolic of the world's transgressions. He took them and put them to death and gave us a fresh start. Our cross can be the needs of any of the needs we see around us. And by following Jesus' lead, we can carry them forward and put them to death, walking in the direction which God would have us go. To those who still struggle to see the mission of God, I would say it's everywhere. And instead of waiting to see where God might be calling us, why not presume that God is calling us everywhere? Then every encounter, every journey, every day becomes an opportunity to see what God is doing and join in. Now, Jesus is asking us to pick up our cross and follow him. Amen.
Lord God, we bring to you our thankfulness. We bring to mind those things for which we are truly grateful. We're grateful for others who have left a record of their stories, their hopes and dreams, their joys and sorrows, your promises, and the extraordinary ways in which they came to be fulfilled. And above all, we thank you for the story of Jesus, in whose life our lives are reflected back to us, as they are not yet, but may one day become. We pray for all who find themselves today at a sticking point in their story, not sure which way to go, or if the old signposts are still reliable. Those who are finding it hard to go on hoping or waiting for your promises to be kept. We pray for those whose hopes have been dashed, for those who dreamt of who they might become and what they might achieve, and now just keep on keeping on. For those who are old in years and need to know that their life has a purpose, for all who lose their lives too soon, and all the rage at life's unfairness. Loving God, we thank you for the story of life and love that you bring to us, a story we have chosen to believe, in which you are not just its author, but one of us in all of life's twists and turns. Remind us of that when the way is hard and faith nigh impossible. But remind us too when the clouds lift and the sun begins to shine and life is good, so that we can share our joy with you and give you the thanks and praise that you deserve. And from the silence of our hearts, we bring our own prayers. Our prayers for the world as it continues through the pandemic, looking to signs of hope and promise. We bring to you our prayers for family and for friends who are going through life's difficult moments, for all who mourn, all who grieve, all who despair. We bring to you our prayers for ourselves. Lord God, you know and you understand our every need. Give to us those things that you know we need, not just the things we think we want. All our prayers, all our thoughts, we offer to you, God of love, God of hope, God of peace. Amen.
One of the ways in which we bring hope, or hope is channeled through us, is in the way that we share our gifts, our talents, our time, our money. We share all that we have with others. And we bring these gifts to God, and we ask a dedication on them. We bring you our gifts of money, our sacrifices and our offerings are no interest to you, Lord, in themselves, unless we do so willingly and with love in our hearts. May the opening up of our hands and our hearts be one in which we think of others and we think of how we're going to share what we have, so that the glory goes to you, so that the efforts go to the building of your kingdom, seen through us, seen through other Christians around the world. Bless what we give, Lord. May it bring life and hope to all. Let's join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen.
Jesus. help us draw near. Alleluia, alleluia, help us draw near.
As we end this time of worship, help us to remember that this is not the end of worship, but it is the beginning of living out our worship in the other hours of the week. We are thankful for our ancestors and for the part we play today in continuing the story, continuing your blessing. May we go with the assurance of God's promise of hope, alive and well within us, knowing that we are part of the ongoing story of the Bible and of faith around the world today. And as we turn back to our day-to-day living, may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, be with us all and those we love, now and evermore. Amen. Thank you.